Number one, could you give me again your name?
My name is Mary Finnerty. I'm also Mrs. Paul Finnerty. I'm from Springfield, Virginia. I'm Secretary of March for Life in Washington, D.C.
And you are presently, right now today, are here doing what tasks at International Women's around International Women's Year? Are you able to be in any official capacity?
Not at all. I'm here to support the pro-life movement in their protection of the preborn child, because the people in the pro-life movement are so deeply concerned that International Women's Year supports the slaughter of innocent preborn children. We feel it's our obligation to be here to defend those preborn children, and that's why I'm here.
Can you just give us a good description of the main objectives of March for Life? In other words, is it lobbying? What are your major objectives? You must have told this a million times to people.
And March for Life is an educational and lobbying organization based in Washington, D.C. It's nationwide, and its objective is to protect the preborn child from the moment of fertilization through its continuum of life until its natural death, and to protect all life through all stages until its natural death.
How? Through what processes would you do this protection?
Our objective now is to have a human life amendment to the Constitution, which would protect all human life, as I said, from fertilization to its natural end, regardless of the circumstances, with no exceptions. That is our objective. The Supreme Court decision of January 22, 1973, allowed the slaughter of preborn children in this country, and we feel that's an abomination. And we are working very desperately and dedicatedly to overturn that decision and make the people of this country aware that this is an act that is just against God and destroying humanity, and we want to protect that humanity by getting an amendment to the Constitution.
Now, do you have a kind of a multi-point plan for doing this, like grassroots education, education in Congress of congressmen?
It includes all that. It includes grassroots education. It includes education of the congressmen. We feel the way to get our amendment to the Constitution is by working through Congress. And in some cases, the legislators have to be educated, as well as the public, so they know who to vote for.
And this is kind of the where your Washington office headquarters runs this.
Yes. And we have our Washington, the entire March for Life movement is completely voluntary. All support that we receive is through personal contributions of individuals. It is non-sectarian. And Volunteers from all over the country have dedicated their lives for this purpose.
Who are your major contributors?
Volunteers throughout the country.
I mean in money.
That's.
Do you get grants?
No, we have no grants. We receive no federal money whatsoever. We receive no grants from anybody. Everything is just private donations made by individuals.
How do you get the donations? Mailings or what?
People hear about our work. We have our flyer, which I've given you.
Mm-hmm.
They know through the media and through our mailings the work we're doing, and that is how we get our donations.
So you don't have any special angels? Like, my work has been in the history of suffrage,
mm-hmm.
and they got a lot of donations, but they also had some very special angels to help with the suffrage movement, the big donors. Who
our angels are spiritual.
And even, you know, just enabling them to get a rent, pay the rent on their...
No, as a matter of fact, we have nothing like that. Everything is just day by day, and we just are grateful for anything that anybody sends in.
Now, you're here to work especially on the anti-abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of other issues swirling around, too.
Mm-hmm.
What relationship do you see to some of the others? Like, for instance, the Equal Rights Amendment. Do you see that this has anything to do with abortion?
Yes, I do, because I feel that if we did get the Equal Rights Amendment, that would lock in abortion. So, therefore, I am against the Equal Rights Amendment. The Equal Rights Amendment is also destructive of the family.
How is that?
Just the fact that there are many different issues involved with the Equal Rights Amendment that take away the stability of the traditional family. And actually, since we're talking mainly about abortions, I don't want to get into the Equal Rights Amendment. Because the March for Life is actually dedicated to working for a human life amendment to the Constitution.
Does your organization have an official stand on the ERA?
No, the March for Life has not taken any official stand on the ERA. As of this date.
But most of your membership, I guess.
It's individual opinion. Right.
But practically speaking, it would be opposed because of the...
I can't speak for most of the membership, but I would say if you took a poll, they probably would be opposed to it.
Let's talk about your organization more. What about the structure of it? How many are on the board, and how's the board chosen, and all that sort of stuff?
The board of directors consists of all volunteers, as I said. There are 14 of us. And we are elected annually.
At what? You have a national convention or something? How are you elected?
Through the... let's see, I'm trying to figure out how to put that. It's actually selected through the board of directors meetings that you're chosen as a member of the board of directors.
Oh, so the directors...
The membership does not elect the board of directors.
Oh, I see. By board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
At board of directors meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have state organizations?
We actually do not have designated state organizations. We do have people in states that work for March for Life,
mm-hmm.
but we do not have designated chapters.
And by people in states, you mean, for instance, people whom you can call to speak to their synagogues. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what else do they do, the people in the States?
They're supportive of March for Life in any way that we need them.
And can you give some examples?
Well, lobbying is one. Yes, that would be one perfect example.
Well, do they do any organizational work in the States?
What do you mean organizational?
Forming groups of women for local work in March for Life.
Well, our contacts in the States know who they should contact in order to do any type of work that we need done. And that's how we handle it.
So that nationally, as I understand it, you have a fairly lean and efficient organization.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have key contacts in each state.
Like you're at your telephone in Washington, and you know a woman.
We know who to get in touch with.
Indiana, when you need to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What states are most successful for you?
I'd say all the states are.
You have some that are more active in this than others. You'd like to get a geographic distribution picture.
I can say that every state in the United States is active in the pro-life movement for the March for Life. I think that is obvious on January 22nd every year. People come from every state in the country to that march.
And they march in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your key event?
That is the key event.
That sounds like a nightmare to set up.
We were busy on it from the January 24th of each year to the following January 22nd.
How do you get housing, for instance? Is this your job?
Everybody works together, really. It's not any one particular person's job. We have a committee that just gets busy, and we all work together. And
You're probably the one in the nerve center if you're the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to move to today, where we are now, and partly for the record and also partly because I want you to orient me since I'm supposed to be interviewing for the next 3 days. But could you give me a rundown on what, I guess, your perceptions of what is going on and what might happen, what you expect to happen in the next 3 days?
I couldn't even begin to perceive what's going to happen. I really couldn't.
How is an organization like yours now? Do you going to function? Do you have delegates? Are you observers? Or what kind of animals have you been classified as?
When you say animals, who's doing the classifying?
I mean, in the IWI meetings. This is supposed to be the history of the IWI.
I don't know what you mean.
They have. When I was told this morning when I was given my instructions, for instance, now I probably cannot get a status as an observer, which is with a capital O. The delegates are on the floor, and the security's very tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there may be other classifications too that I don't know about yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when there is a group like yours with a kind of a one-issue focus, how will you bring to bear your issue to influence what happens?
That will remain to be seen, because all the testimony, as you probably are aware, that was given at the hearing Senator Helms had in September 14th to 15th. The testimony showed throughout the country that pro-life people were excluded from the state meetings. They were, in most states, not able to be heard So therefore, we're just going to have to go about getting our voices heard our own way. The pro-family, pro-life rally that's going to take place today will be our own.
Oh, where is that?
That is at the Astro Center on the south side of Houston.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way we'll be getting our message out to the people of this country, because we cannot really do it through IWI since they didn't want to hear us. So we're doing it that way.
And that's primarily aimed at general grassroots support?
Oh, it will be all grassroots support.
So that's one thing. And then you're getting good press coverage here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it today as we sit here.
Yes, I would say so.
Phyllis Schlafly's being videotaped. Oh, they just finished. I think there are more press people in here now than there are people to be interviewed, right?
I guess there are right now. So, everybody seems to be out doing their own thing right now.
And there's another press
I see Nellie Gray over here, and Nellie Gray is president of March for Life, and perhaps you'd like to speak with her, too.
Oh, yeah, let's get her in here, and we'll just, maybe you and she could both go and talk to me. Okay, we'll continue with her in just a minute. So, now, a little bit on your personal connection with this. How did you first get interested in this?
My first interest was aroused when I saw the slides that the pro-life movement shows describing abortions and showing what happens to that unborn baby through the various methods of abortion. When I saw how little life is snuffed out and that body is shredded into pieces, it aroused my emotions to the point that I felt I had to do something about this. I couldn't sit back and do nothing.
Where was this? What meeting was it?
This was at a PTA meeting in Edison, New Jersey, where I lived until 4.5 years ago.
Okay. What were you the type who was involved in the activities?
No, I'm a mother. I'm a mother, a wife first, a mother. I have 4 children, and my entire family was my life. I belonged to the PTA because of my children. I wasn't an officer, I was just a member. And I rarely belonged or participated in many organizations, any organizations that would take me away from the family. But after I saw this, I felt my family and my children meant so much to me that I couldn't sit back and be guilty of letting this savagery go on in our country without doing something to try to stop it.
And were you active in PTA at
no,
the time?
No, just a member.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a member who went to a meeting and saw these slides that were presented by a pro-life group in New Jersey, and I just felt from that moment on that I had received a message that I had to get involved into doing something to stop this criminal activity.
What did you do at first? Tell me how you managed to attain the rank of secretary of the whole organization.
I, to this day, cannot believe that I have gotten this deeply involved. It's just been a process of steps along the way that I have been getting deeper and deeper into it. And I am the type of person that doesn't want to. I love my home. I love to sew. I love my children and my husband, and I love doing things with them. So I have found this to be a real sacrifice to my own life to get so deeply involved, and yet I find myself getting deeper and deeper.
What was your first job in it?
My first job was just being one of the grassroots people in the Virginia Right to Life who became involved in spreading the message about what abortion is all about.
And so, in other words, you worked on a local...
Just a local level.
Mm-hmm. And then, are you close to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, I'm a half hour from Washington.
I got into
March for Life through lobbying.
They asked you to speak to congressmen or something?
It all started, actually, I would say, with the time that Congress was working on, I guess, the first Hyde Amendment. Mm-hmm. And the March for Life was lobbying, and I felt I wanted to do something about stopping the federal funds for abortion. And so I went along with groups from our area down to Washington to lobby. That's how I got involved with working with March for Life. Of course, I went to every march since the first March for Life, January 22nd, 1974, and I've been to every one of them since. So I have been supportive of March for Life right from the very beginning.
Is this connected to any religious belief?
No. March for Life, as I said earlier, is non-sectarian, and we have...
I assume that a lot of women in it are probably those who do have deep religious convictions that they've been brought up with since childhood from either Catholicism or Mormons or something like that.
I wouldn't even say it's a religious conviction as much as it's a moral conviction. They know it's wrong to kill...
Yeah.
Human beings, and so they're involved in trying to stop it.
Have you ever counted what the proportion is of Catholics to Protestants? You know, sociologists are going to want to know this. Do you have any information on that?
I don't. You'd have to check with sociologists on that, because I don't know what the statistics are. I myself am a Catholic. I've been brought up all my life as a Catholic, and I'm a practicing Catholic, and it's something I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Catholics probably are suffering persecution right now because they're being accused of being in a movement that they have been brought in a movement to fight something that they've been brought up all their lives to know is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
mm-hmm.
feel it's bigotry when people accuse mm-hmm. Catholics of... doing something.
It sort of puts you in a double bind, doesn't it?
What do you mean a double bind?
Well, I mean, so that if you don't fight abortion, then you're going against your religion. If you do fight abortion, you get criticized by the people who feel that.
Well, as I said, it's not. It's something I've been brought up with. But it's not a religious issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in this movement who probably have no religion at all, but they know that it's wrong to sit back and do nothing if a child is being killed. Just as I would hope you would sit back and you wouldn't sit back and do nothing if you saw a child being battered.
Yeah.
You'd want to get involved, and that's the way people in the pro-life movement look at it. They see a child being battered in the womb, and they can't sit back and do nothing. They have to get involved.
Do you do a lot of public speaking?
No, I haven't done any public speaking at all.
Well, I think you should. You're very eloquent, articulate. I think that's everything. I'll move on to...